Dear Lord Jesus, help us to believe always that you really are the true Son of God, come in the flesh. And therefore, when we view our lives and the world and our sin, we need not fear, because you took on our flesh and went from the manger to the cross for us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. Why do we say Merry Christmas? The word Merry is found quite a few times depending on the translation. And it describes a situation where one is cheerful or happy or lighthearted. And what's interesting about that word Merry, when you do find it, about half the time it's referring to the effects of wine. So, for example, Ecclesiastes 10 says, wine makes merry. And in 1 Samuel 25, we read that Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So, alcohol can make one happy, and yet at the same time, we condemn the sin of drunkenness. But being merry is not always associated with the use of wine. It is also connected to something else. In Jeremiah chapter 31, we read, then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old men shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. So what is the merry that is connected to and brought about by Christmas? How does Christmas lead to joy and happiness and lightness of heart? Well, that's kind of a no-brainer question and answer, but it does deserve a careful answer. Christmas ultimately is about God coming to us. We read in Matthew 1, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Not all of God. That itself should scare us and cause anyone to be sore afraid. We're talking about the Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, the God of justice, the God who cannot tolerate sin to any degree. So how can his coming make us merry? We answer that with another question. If God wanted to scare us in his coming, if he wanted to frighten us, if he wanted us to shake with fear before him, would he have come in the flesh? Would he have been conceived by the Holy Spirit? Would he have been born, he would have come like an avenger or a mighty warrior or a great beast or even as himself with no humble fleshly disguise? The only reason God, the Son of God, comes in the flesh is for our comfort, our peace. He comes in the flesh to reveal and establish his grace and mercy. He was born in this world as a human child to bring us forgiveness of our sins, but only if he comes in the flesh. It is there where real and lasting joy and happiness and peace and true Merry Christmas is found. Right now, every fear you have, every worry you feel, every twinge of guilt you have in your heart, Every sickness or disease you have, every time you feel the aspects of growing old, they're all directly or indirectly related to your sin, to the sinfulness you were born with and to the sin you commit daily. When the Son of God was conceived and born, when he took on human flesh, he had no fear, no worries, no guilt, because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and therefore was without sin. Throughout his life, no sin was found within him. No sin plagued him until it came time for him to suffer and die. Then the sins of the world and your sins, all your sins, plagued him. They plagued him because they were all heaped on him. For all those, he suffered and died. He could not have done this if he had not come in the flesh. Again, the only reason he came in the flesh was to remove that which would cause you to be scared of death, of God and his judgment. But he came in the flesh, and that says it all. We just sang this stanza from hymn 115. If our blessed Lord and Maker hated men, would he then be a flesh partaker? If he in our woe delighted, would he bear all the care of our race benighted? So John puts it this way in his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, not full of power and truth, not full of judgment and truth, not full of fear and truth, but full of grace, unmerited, undeserved love and mercy and truth. So here's one final illustration to communicate what Merry Christmas truly means. Suppose a loved one is going into surgery because of cancer, and you fear that after the surgery, the doctor may say to you, "I'm sorry, I could not get it all. I'm afraid he will die." The fear of death. But instead, a smiling surgeon finds you and says, "We got it." And you say, "You got it all?" And he says, "Yes, we got it all, every last cell. We got it. He will live." That is joy. That is comfort. That is being truly merry. Jesus says to you, "I got it." And you say, "You got it all?" And he says, "Yes, I got it all. Every single last sin. I performed the perfect surgery on the cross, and I got it all." Hymn 115 again. Come then, banish all your sadness, one and all, great and small. Come with songs of gladness. Love him who with love is glowing. Hail the star near and far, light and joy bestowing. Relief, comfort, joy, happiness, and a very Merry Christmas. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.